Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Poetry by the Backyard Fence with yours truly, Becky Friend. I'm your host for tonight, and I hope you enjoyed our intro song. What a wonderful song, Green Eyed Lady, brought to you by Sugarloaf and by personal request of our own raconteur. So thank you for that. Green Eyed Lady was their biggest hit. It reached number 3 on the Billboard in 1970, and wonderful trip back in time, and very appropriate for my theme of green. And we are a part of a team of voices, a group of poets from all over the globe, and we come together on open microphone to share our poetry and our thoughts and special events, and you're all welcome tonight, and I'm glad to be back after a little absence. So, in Team of Voices is a part of a larger Poetry site, allpoetry.com. We welcome you to visit us there, too. So with that, I'm going to put some callers into the studio, which I'm so thrilled. We have some great poetry and some wonderful sound clouds to listen to and be inspired by tonight. So I'm going to begin, forgive me, but with an area code I'm not able to interpret as 111. So let me let you in the room, and please tell me who you are, area code 111.
Hey, Becky. It's Rack.
Hey.
Hey, Rack. That comes up. Number comes up when you call on Skype or when you block your number. So I've been confusing everyone lately.
That's okay. I'm glad to have you here, the familiar voice, and thank you for joining me tonight. And I think I also have right behind you in Canada, our lovely Lady A.
Hello.
Hey, Lady A. Oh, long time
ago. Great to hear your voice, Becky. Hi, Rad.
Thank you very much. And going on to back to the door, I have also, again, forgive me, this isn't on my list, but area code 959. Please come in.
This is Blue. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Thank you. Welcome. And thank you for joining us tonight. And we also have my dear friend, Max, coming in the door. Mr. Hatter. Welcome, Hatter.
Unmuted.
Hello.
Unmuted. You are right behind you. We have the fabulous duo, either Kay and Kay and Stephen, one or the other. Come in, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Glad to have you both. What a wonderful group tonight. What a wonderful welcome back to have all of my good friends here. So since we have some great poetry, I'm going to go right along and pull something out. So pleased when I went and looked earlier and just had a full house. So let's go ahead and get started. And I know some of you are here for a short time. So I know that's true of Kay and Stephen, I'm assuming. So I'll start with you guys, and if there's anyone else who is on a time crunch, just speak up and let me know. Okay. Anytime. All right. So I'm going to go ladies first tonight, and I'm going to pick my friend Kay, who I always appreciate you reading my poems and coming around, and you and Stephen both are making me feel like I haven't even been gone, even though I have been. Appreciate that. So I got a kind of echo in here tonight, so as if hearing my voice once isn't enough, I get to hear it twice. Bear with me. Maybe that'll go away. Okay. So I picked green because of the season, at least for this part of the world. We're in the mid-spring, and things are really getting green around here for sure. But also because it can go in so many different directions. So I hope we'll have a lot of different inspiration. And Kay, I have you on the board first, so I would love to hear you read.
Okay, this has facets of green in it. so I call this Woods of Today. Leaves like a stuck of trees, vines in silence, scrubbed tatters as if the stain of yesterday bloodied the water. Medicinal bottles clanks the tonic dressed upon lambs. Petrified, 7 pounds nods an allowance to despair of 10 pounds. Is either any better? Frocked, meadow in a dawn, and starched handkerchiefs as lace graces the eye. Gross, bull's eye, fire in the belly, cheeks and the color of pink ice cream, blooming like pansies, the fragility of humans, thinness paper. Lease acquainted with feathery minton, 7 pounds. Coin, whispers blench in the moon, petticoats awakening in sweeps of steps, promise and flight of light avenues, 7 pounds, mud, and poem.
This is wonderful, Kay, and I see you're still exploring your abstract poetry so beautifully, and I love this different style. I love the separation of the thought. where you elaborate on each of those single words. And this is really beautiful, response to the green prompt, I think, in so many ways. The reference to, so many ways, and it may not be your intentions, but, of course, the money reference is in there. And the medicinal bottle, you know, I can see those green medicinal bottles. Leaves, mint, so many ways. I really see that green theme going throughout this poem. But I love you more than, even more than that is your meaning, because I can see in this a progression, maybe a cycle. So that's the feel I get from this, and I really love it, Kay. So maybe you can expound a little bit on that if I'm right or wrong or what your thoughts were about this poem.
No, that was pretty good. It's the cycle of life in its own way. Yeah, there's definitely avenues of green in there, too. 7 pounds, mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be seen as money. That's also mm-hmm. Referring to what money can bring in other ways, too. So, yeah, you were on to the right.
Well, it's just wonderful, and thank you for bringing that tonight. I want to get some other comments for you. Rat, would you comment for Kay, please?
That's muted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in the meantime, I'll get you to comment, Stephen, and then maybe we'll get Rat back.
Yeah. I remember this one, and I thought it was a powerful piece with deep metaphor. I mentioned in my comment that so many things can happen between each beat of the heart, but I also definitely see some things from the past. And, yeah, Becky touching on a cycle, definitely intent in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very powerful. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And I see Rack drop, so hopefully he'll be able to come back. And Heather, would you comment for Kay, please?
Well, what's heavier, a pound of feathers or a pound of ice cream? 7 pounds. 7 pounds. Yeah, 7 pounds. I said that. I'm trying to grasp what the meaning of this is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of well hidden in the metaphors.
Yeah.
This lamb petrified. Oh, no. You got me.
That's good, because this one I'm not going to really explain because it's a personal one to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna dig around in it later, Kay, see what I can come up with. But it's really great, and I know we have Rack back. So, Rack, I don't know if you were able to hear the whole thing before you dropped, but if you did, would you comment?
It was beautiful as usual, Kay. Anything about nature is gonna touch on the color green. I don't think you could avoid it, even in winter. But you mentioned money and other things too, but that kind of dominated it for me. And the 7 pound, the pound of feathers, the pound of anything else is always been a favorite kind of I won't call it a scientific debate, but something to touch on that I really enjoy. I like that thought. You can really confound some people with that one. The whole thing overall was just gorgeous. So, you've got the shades of green, like you mentioned. You've got, the rest of nature surrounding that as well. And you touch on the monetary aspect of the color green, which, a lot of people don't necessarily go there first, but it fits the theme well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did a great job with it.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Rack. Wonderful comment. And I'm going to move on, but first let me welcome Frank to the studio. Hello, my friend.
Hello, Frank. Hello there, my friend. Hello there.
Thank you.
Hello there,
glad to have
everyone.
You here today.
It's always a pleasure.
Welcome.
Hola, Francisco.
Oh, there we go. Lydia, I wasn't aware. Hola, hola.
Stephen, my friend, did you bring a poem tonight for us? I'm sorry. Stephen, did you bring a poem tonight? Are you just listening tonight?
I am just here to listen tonight. I'm kind of resting my voice.
Oh. Yeah, that's good. That's fine.
He's cool with that.
One of my problems lately is I've been struck with some writer's block. You know, I thought that I might get it going again with the National Poetry Month and taking on that challenge. And I made it through about 12 or 13 days, and I kind of died again. So I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I know how that is, and I appreciate you being here to listen tonight. And I'm going to move along here, and I'm going to bring up Miss Lady A's poem. If you would like to read.
Sure.
All right. So let me bring this up here. Looking forward to hearing all my friends read again and bring their poetry back and trying to get poetry back into my life after this crazy world. Okay, so you're up, Lady A.
Thank you.
This is called
Speargrass Greenery. And I wrote this a couple of years ago, I think, or I forget now, 2 years ago, and it was for a contest, Sarah's alt contest. It was a Scrabble contest. So here it goes, in Speargrass Greenery. Whiskery tufted evergreens from worldwide woodlands and ravines, foraging crops on hillside gleans, earth man careens. Speargrass drowns in swampier ground, sugar-like fragility sound, stronger silkworm silk threads abound, without a sound. Soil erosion, spoilage gives way, destruction, eruption, decay, ruined land and putrid bouquet, global doomsday. Semi-group, most enigmatic, global warming is dramatic, say those who are most dogmatic, problematic. Flowers, shrubs, trees, earth's greenery, in peril, jeopardized by man, balance tipped by machinery, fixed, frozen, fossilized caveman. Indigenous people protected, life-giving gifts, sacred, hallowed, land, air, and water respected, cherished, treasured, sainted, hallowed, and peace.
I love this, Lady A. It's different, a different style for you. But I definitely am just enthralled by the, you know, repetition about the with the short phrasing. I always have loved that. I write a lot in the short lines because to me it's like it just lends an emphasis. You know, when you just have a word or two, you know, that can capture your thought instead of a lot of complicating words. I really, really love that. I like how you brought in the theme of the global doomsday and the global warming. One of the few poems I've written lately, amazingly, is about global warming. So I can't believe we are of the same thought. In the past few days, yeah. So it's been on my mind, too. And I just think you did a really great job and perfect, certainly, for my green prompt tonight. So, Frank, would you comment? You're welcome. Frank, would you comment for Lady?
Yes, I have to say that I do agree with what you said. I do believe in preservation and conservation as well, the planet. I think all of us in the end will agree to that, you know. I think this poem really spoke a profound message here of two aspects here. That is the aspect of nature, so to say, and its beauty. And then we have the other aspect of human nature and our actions. And these two go together. They go together because we are the keepers of this earth. If we don't preserve nature and its wonders, and we continue to contaminate and pollute, then nature in itself is going to eventually just ruin itself by our own actions. it is fortunate that that I have to say it is fortunate that it has survived, you know, for millions and millions since the inception of the earth, that it has survived. And I think this poem here does reflect the beauty of nature. And at the same time, as I said before, it does offer us really a haunting aspect of what a reality, a realization of what the earth can continue, what the earth could be if we don't conserve, if we don't preserve, you know. We might not live, you know, I'll be very brief in this. We might not see it completely, you know, in our lifetime, you know, absolute nation. But we our children, if not our children, generations to come will see it. And I think Lady A provides us a foreboding here, you know, and I thought this piece was just immensely beautiful in the regard of it capturing the essence of nature, but also at the same time giving us the foreboding of what we must do as humans. It's just a topic that as well, just it's a very serious topic for me, I'm sorry.
Yes, I agree. It's very beautiful. Very good comment. All right, and before I move on with my comments, I failed to make a note of my new friend tonight, area code 959. Please tell me your name again so I can write it down.
Was it Blue?
Hello?
Becky, this is Blue. Do you know who I am?
Blue?
Becky.
Yes, I do. You have to forgive me. I've been gone for a while. I've been
okay,
a bad
guy.
No, I've been fine. I just needed that little hiatus. Well, I'm wonderful to have you here tonight. And do you have a poem for me?
I do, yes.
Okay. All right.
Is that
all right, well, I'm going to get ready. All right, checking my list here.
It should be a SoundCloud, if you can play that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right, I got several SoundClouds. In fact, I was going to go on here to get, let me get some more comments first, and then I'll circle back around. So, could I get a comment, please, from Ray on Lady A's poem?
I swear I heard you say Wayne, but I know you're talking to me. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm kind of out of it. I'm sorry. But no, that poem was a beautiful walk through nature, Lady A. It really had a lovely cadence to it that kind of elevated it a little bit. You know, I don't know. I kind of put myself in the setting that you were describing and everything, despite the dire message of, you know, global warming and whatnot. Was the only downer to it, but otherwise, even with that message, it was still a very beautiful poem. You know, there's nothing bad that you could really say about it. It was lovely.
Thank you, Rat.
Absolutely. And let me get a comment from Stephen, and then I'm going to move on after Stephen.
Yeah, I thought this was a very powerful piece with a great message. Today I said in my comment that not only does this touch on deforestation, but also the issues of global warming and the fragility of Earth's plant life. And I said us people as a whole, we do have a knack for keeping pretty much everything we touch.
Yeah.
I thought this was a knack. Right?
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. I do think we forget what impact we do have on nature and on environment. We think it's invincible, but it's not. It's very fragile. And I really appreciate your poem, Lady A, and all your comments. Thank you all very much. And I have a couple of SoundClouds I'm going to move on to because we have the SoundCloud producers right here in the studio with us. And we'll start off with Rack, my first caller. So, Racketeer, I'm going to play your poem tonight. And let me find the title and put it up for people to follow along.
Yeah, I messed up K because I switched the one that I initially had.
you switched it on us?
No. I don't think you found it after I switched it. I think you got it. You got the right one. It should be cold blooded.
Oh, I hope so. It's cold blooded. All right. So there it is. Perfect. It's in the chat room, and I'm going to play it. So everyone, this is our raconteur.
Cold blooded by raconteur. Her eyes were green, revealing the serpent within, constricting my dreams before her ivory fangs ever touched skin. Venomous words administered through innuendo and lies, mesmerizing gyrations complete her disguise. I'm simply not interesting enough to charm this viper, nor can I play the flute, so I'm forced to pay the piper. Intoxicated by the thought of her, as predicted, I seal my fate. Grabbing my cell phone, I ask her out on another date. And
so great, Rack. I mean, you bring, you know, all the poetic devices and the imagery and the story, but you always charm us with your humor. And I love this. The green eyes, you know, that fits into the theme tonight perfectly. And I see you just wrote this for my show just a few hours ago. So thank you. I love the images, the snake, you know, the darkness of it, yet so humorous too, and you make me smile really big right now. So thank you, Rack. I needed that. Now I'll get you some more comments too. Kay, would you comment for Rack?
Well, yeah, I definitely think this ties in well to the color green. In the comment, I said some are not meant to be tamed, but in this piece, the cold thing is what grabbed me. When you speak about being intoxicated, knowing that she isn't right, and you're sealing your fate. But as I said, too, I will say, you had me thinking, why are you calling her if you know she's no good?
That's what I was saying. That's what I'm writing
down
right now.
You can't, you can't place the blame entirely on the woman. You know, and I wanted to acknowledge that, you know. As much as you want to call a woman a snake, the guy's still going to call her. So, you know.
That's
blame
right.
The phone. Got to blame the cell phone there, Rack.
That's so great. Yeah. Thank you, Kay. That is a wonderful observation. And Blue, would you comment for Rack, please?
Hey, Rack. How you doing? I'm gonna comment and just say something off the wall. My wife has green eyes, and she's also Irish Italian. She's also Irish Italian temperament. So, if you can read those into this poem, and unfortunately, I picked up the phone and I ended up by marrying her. So, there you go. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
That's so great. Thank you for a wonderful comment there, Blue. And Hatter, what about you? Would you comment for Rack?
So she's the aspen, and you're the horn blower.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one way to put it.
Well, I guess that makes me a pain in the ass.
It was very, very entertaining. Very entertaining.
Yeah.
I like Brian's being spot on. Yeah. Good job, Rock. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam.
That's great. Great poem and great comments. And thank you so much, Rack. I'm so glad you brought me that, you know, that levity. I can't tell you how delightful it is to laugh and to hear other people laughing. So I'm going to go on to one more sound clip first before I go back to any poems, and that's for you, Blue. So I'll put your poem in so people can follow it. Now, bear with me as I go here this list. Yes. I listen to this ahead. I sneak. I cheated. I don't usually. I like to listen to the poems fresh on my, at my shows as everyone else does. But as I was loading your template, I couldn't help but played a little bit, and I couldn't help but listen. Oh, that's the wrong one. I couldn't help but listen to it all the way through because it was so entrancing. So I'm looking forward to putting this out. And let me get the right one up there. And it really, really is a very enchanting piece. So here is the poem on the board. And I'll go back to the studio so we can hear.
The voices struggle.
That's not it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the problem with last-minute audio is SoundCloud has to be downloaded first. So it takes a bit of gyration to get it into the studio.
Yeah, I don't know how to really put the sound card itself into...
It's dependent on the... What happens is we look at the link that you give us. And the link, you know, sometimes it lets us download it directly. Sometimes it sends us someplace else. Sometimes you got to click in the corner. It gets a little annoying because it's not a direct MP3 download. It's not your fault, you know. We do SoundClouds all the time. It takes a little hoop, a little jumping through hoops to get it the right way. And you know, when it's the last minute one, it's hard to get it to the studio depending on who's working it, you know, and depending on, again, which link you give us. You know, I'm half blind, so sometimes people give me a link, and I'm sitting there for 10 minutes going, there's no link. I can't find the link.
Okay.
You know,
I did add it quite a while back.
All right. So I have your wrong or I can try to get it in there. Somebody will kind of take over for me, whichever you would like to do.
Or do you want him to read it, Becky?
Well, I'll do whatever he feels better doing. If he wants me to try to get this loaded, I can work on it and come back.
I guess I can try to read it. I can try to, okay? I'm hurting a lot tonight, so
I understand.
Let me see if I can do this. One second here.
Okay.
I gotta pull it up. I apologize to everyone. I know they're still it's not on.
No, just take your time, my friend.
Okay. Bear with me because I don't have any glasses. I lost my glasses, so it's hard for me to see and read. Okay, so the name of the poem is called Aphrodisiac of Horror. Okay?
Okay.
It begins this way. Opaque avocado satin grapes, coral caves, hypnotic eyes, taunt glass, break, creak, and bend. Cadaverous glow, arachnophobia, spiders, eyelash friend of Lake Topaco, lifeless flaunt. Freaks open wide, M&M's door, white sticky webs of spiral sight, black atmospheres, Jekyll's pore, neon widow rooms her venomous bite. Dank, musty yellow howls within, monstrosity fest begin. Teal, droplets, cyclonic crocodile green tea, garden bowers, salty, mist Irish whiskey waves, lacothronic, regions Hound Keys of Bloodstained Organ Sound, Uncanny Tunes of Mayhem Spin, The Gypsy's Wolfman Curse of Grimm, Wolfsbane Blooms, Rogue Moon's Equinox Bright, Consciousness Dances and Perceptions Light, Impressions of Existence, The Window Stairs, Transformed Aligned, Subjectivities, Deception Glares, Conscience Steers, Optima, Behavior Subtlety Declares, Monstrosity Perception, Detoured Impairs, Psychological Resistance, Turquoise Wears, Emerald Mariners, Memories Breach, Rampart Foamed Knaves, Whirlwind Weathered Vessel, Melted Chocolate Paves, The Blimes Moves Slightly in the Breeze, She Dances, Phosphorescent Eyelids, Crystallized, Fossilized Caverns, Capillary Laves, Aquamarine Gown, Tattered with Rips, and Pulses Displayed, and Brash Array, Her Finger Signals, Come Here, No One Dares, Cold Eyes From Behind Her Porcelain Mask, A Bold and Tasty Tart to Light My Fire, Sits on the Misted Stairs, and Poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, Lou, and thank you for stepping up and reading it. I'm really sorry about the mix-up. Not sure what happened, but seems to happen. But I really love this walk that you took through this, like a vision of horror, or an aphrodisiac of horror, as you called it. It's a perfect title because it's horror described beautifully. You know, you have the Adnacrophobia spiders. Eyelashed Friend. I mean, that is just so vivid, but almost kind of a juxtaposition of the spider's eyelashed friend, and it makes me really sit and think and try to envision that and imagine walking through, like we're walking through hallways, maybe almost like hallways of hell. I'm not really sure exactly what direction you are going in, but it's kind of where it takes me. All these kind of ethereal, haunting, the tattered aquamarine gown. I can just see that, and it's a ghostly figure beckoning you on. Very haunting, very beautiful, Blue. Thank you again for stepping up and reading it for us tonight. And
you're
I
welcome.
Wanted to get, thank you, and I'm going to get Frank to comment on this point, please.
Yes, first of all, I commend them as well. This is, first of all, you know, reading there. You did a great job in the rendition there of the write. I've always said this to our good friend here, that he has a remarkable ability here to use such abstract notions and concepts of in his usage of words. It's absolutely amazing that you're able to not only utilize these words, my friend, but to be able to construct them constructively, to be able to, in a coherent sense, to make a narrative out of all of these words. It takes tremendous diction as well. I thought this was a remarkable example of superb creativity. And I have to agree. I sense the ethereal imagery here and the vivid description of green. But I just enjoyed just the way he just done. I sense a serenity, my friend, as well. There was a sense of calmness in you, a sense of admission as well. Two of those things came together, the admission there and as well a serenity. So there's so many images just came up to my mind there. And really you took me on an odyssey there of a tremendous view, I would say, of not only the color, but as well of things surrounding, of what goes on, nature, and around our own human nature as well. So there's a lot here that just, there's a lot to ponder there. But it's a very, in a good way. Because when you leave someone there in a good way to ponder, that means that poem is making you read it more than once.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with that.
Oh, you're welcome.
It does make you ponder, and I think that's a good word for it. That's what I was sort of trying to grab, the thoughts that it, the provocativeness of it. But anyway, I would like to ask Lady A to comment for you, Blue.
Well, I think that you have a very unusual way of writing, and the gathering of the words and in bits and pieces. It takes me a while to understand what you're saying, even though it's how can I say that? It's always very interesting. It's always very intriguing is a good word, your pen, I find. And just how you write, it's a very unique style. And it intrigues me to want to read more. And I really loved the second last verse. The blinds move slightly in the breeze. She dances, phosphorescent eyelids, crystallized, fossilized caverns, capillary labs. And I think it's each little verse is like a brevity unto itself, and that's interesting as well. But I thought you did a really good job with stringing these bits of words together. There's weathered vessels, melted chocolate pavé, you know, and that's an old word that you don't see very often anymore with regard to rhinestones, tiny diamonds. And, yeah, this is really a very interesting pen. I don't want to say an interesting, it's a horrible word to use. I think it's a very intriguing and unique pen, and I enjoyed it very much.
Thanks for the comment, Lady A. I know I don't get a chance to hear your comments very often, but I do appreciate it. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Yes, thank you, Lady A. And I'm going to get another female point of view for you and ask Kay to comment. Yeah.
Well, I know this was for one of Deb's Picture Plant Mondays, I believe. I think what she brought here is cool because, yeah, the green M&Ms. I like them to begin with, and when I eat them, I'm a weird person who needs to eat them according to color. They cannot be mixed up in the vegetable that I have. So I think it's cool because as I see to light the fire with a bit of light. It's definitely cool with the visualization that brings forth, as I said, a tasty and colorful view laced with some darkness.
Yeah.
Cool, right?
Like an M&M.
Yeah. Great comment, Kay. I love that. I love that description. That's wonderful. Yeah. So I've had her dropped. Hopefully he'll come back. If you're listening, Hatter, come back. I need you. And so I'm going to put Frank up next. So, Frank, are you ready to read for us?
Yes, of course.
All right. So you're on the board.
This is a piece I wrote 6 years ago, and it's more of a pastoral type of poem of nature. It's called The Lone Clammy Glade, and it goes like this. Wafters, brisk and fain, move the clouds adrift. And bring the drops of rain, drenching, and begin to sift. The droplets fall upon the world, and the spry stems lie in eye, when the bustling waters swirl upon the swollen rivulet high. Twilight of the murk at dusk, fading in the silvan woods, from the smell of the musk before the coming of blood, the lapped moths have leaved, bumping into the old moss, in a clump of nimble greaves, in the twigs children trust. A wondrous warbling herd upon the new flight of birds, will glide straightway stirred by the wild, thundering herds. Winsome stallions should gallop beyond the blossoming grassland, and it's the soft and lush dollop within the green of the lowland. And I clasp the winds that blow to reach a careless gloom ahead of those lovely blooms that grow upon a wetted land I must tread. Behold, the lone clammy glade, over the edge of teeny ridges, across the waters I must wade, through the cleft of the beaches. End of poem.
Wow, this is wonderful, Frank, and a little different tone from you, and I would love to give you a comment, but first I have to welcome my twin in the room. Welcome, Deb.
Hello, beautiful. So glad to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you, gorgeous. Well, I'm glad you're here. And we were just listening to Frank Reed and his wonderful voice. And I love this, Frank, to get back to your point. I love the rhyme. It's so precise with that beautiful rhythm that goes with rhyming poems. And I know that you do a lot of rhyme, but this is a little bit more structured rhyme, I think, than some of your more romantic and flowing poems. But you took us through a walk through these sylvan woods. I love the word sylvan. And there's a somber, almost a sad tone to it, almost as if nature at this time of day with the rain and the murky dust and the smells that you're, you know, bringing out in through your words. Although it's immersed in nature, it's almost a somber time. And in treading through this wetland, the careless gloom ahead. What a wonderful combination for gloom to be careless. I would love to walk through careless gloom, and I think I do when I go and walk in the forest around me. I think that it's almost intrinsic in its nature to be that clammy, gloomy, but careless feeling. I kind of crave that. So this is really beautiful, Frank, and I'm so glad you brought it tonight.
Well, I appreciate that. I brought this up from one of my old poems. When I actually wrote, as I've always said, I seem like I'm repeating myself, but when I actually wrote serious poetry, this is just an example of that type of serious poetry, structured meter and so be it.
I like the series.
Now I write what everybody tells me to write.
Well, this is very, very nice, and I really, really love it. I'd like to get you some comments,
I appreciate
too.
That. Thank you.
Stephen, would you comment for Frank, please?
Yeah, this is really cool. It's nice when you bring stuff from when you used to write serious poetry. Kidding. Anyway. The way that you touch on the senses of sight, smell, and sound really brought me into the scene, I think, which makes it a very, very descriptive poem. And yeah, it's really cool. I really like it a lot. And thank you for the glossary.
Oh. Yeah, I love that glossary. I was reading through that. You know, I love to learn these new words. It's so great.
Yeah.
And thank you for that, Stephen.
That's a lot of nature's terminology there.
Yeah. I'm going to use some of those words. And so, Rack, would you comment for Frank, please?
Oh, this, you know, was an elegant write. I want to say his style. Something serious. I had to run to the dictionary to look that word up for a minute there because, you know, it's not my vocabulary particularly, but I appreciate when other people do write like that. And, you know, you bring a lot of the technical aspects to poetry and into what you do, and then you add a little production with your voice when you read it, which always makes it a very enjoyable read.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend. I'm a little bit off of my voice tonight.
Yeah, I think we all are having that problem. It might be the studio, I'm not sure, but thank you, Frank. Rack.
For something else.
Let me let Miss Sky in the room before I forget. Welcome, Sky.
Hello, how's it been?
Yeah. Is that right? Am I right? Is it Sky?
You are, yeah.
Excellent. I got it right. Well, I'm glad to have you tonight. Good to hear your voice again. And I'm going to put Deb's poem up. I'll ask her to comment on Frank's that we just heard, and then we'll listen to Deb.
Yeah, Frank, this is really awesome, and I'm noticing that it's from years ago, but your imagery is still incredible. I think the only thing missing is maybe that a couple of periwinkle colors or something. Ha ha! But it's absolutely beautiful, vivid imagery, and upon the new flight of birds who glide straightway stirred. By the wild thundering herds. So like the descriptions are spot on. It's like I can just sit back and picture everything as you read it. And you have everything from dollops to gallops. So there's horses and lush scenery. So you did an amazing job.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Becky, for inspiring me for this night. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Frank, for always contributing to our shows, and you too, Deb. It's your time to contribute, so you're on the board.
Okay, I just finished this an hour ago. I love the picture I found, so I wrote to it. And it's called Spring Mornings in Mother Earth's Backyard. Well, here we go.
Okay.
I breathe the flowers on the breeze, pollinated by swarms of honeybees, walking in the land's emerald scene, bathed with 80 shades of green. Dawn hits the tropical forest display as two platinum furred weasels play. The tangerine sun rays light the view and warm birds in the treetops, too. Tadpoles swim as water spills down on turtles crawling in muddy ground. Water splashes the sand on spaces. Moss covers up wet river rock faces. Green blades wave on all the ferns, tossed by gusts as the wind churns. Honeysuckle vines perfume the air. Frogs hop and the turtle does stare. Periwinkle blossoms dot the shores, spreading color on the sunlit moors. And poem.
Well, this is just the essence of Deborah Lee, and I agree, that's a beautiful poem. I mean, picture, that is a picture that I could see in these surroundings, in these mountains, in this Appalachian area where I live. And I want to give you more of a comment, but I want to welcome back Hatter. Thank you for coming back, Hatter. And area code 720, would you come in and please tell me who you are?
Well, hello, Miss Becky. It's glad to have
you back. Hello. I know I've got your name down there somewhere. Very glad to have you. And we're just getting some comments for Deb. And let me go back and finish. You know, Deb, you just always capture colors so well. It's what you're known for. But not just that, but your the way you capture nature, and being a nature lover myself, I just love this. It's just all the elements. I mean, you know, the flowers and the breeze and even the honeybees and tadpoles. But not just mentioned, but described in a way that we can see them so vividly. And hear them and feel them and even almost taste the air of nature at its most beautiful. And the sense I get from this thing is exactly what spring is, and that is birth. All of these things that seem to be fresh and new and born, it does spread color everywhere, like you say in your last line. So this is really, really beautiful, Deb, but you know, it always is. So thank you for writing this just now and bringing it to my show. I'm just thrilled, and I'm going to get you some comments. So,
thank you, my twin.
You're welcome, dear heart. Guy, would you comment for Deb, please?
Oh, I'd love to. This is beautiful. I love the sense of nature, the pollinated by swarm honeybees, and the way that you pull in the greens, and not just by describing the emerald scene, as you say here, the shades of green, but also bringing in those green little critters that run around, you know, bringing in the ideas of the frogs and the tadpoles, and using most of them and having that sort of moss and the ferns that grow. And then, of course, you bring not only sight, but you also bring down here with the vines, the honeysuckle vines perfume, this is. And again, another green, you bring in the turtle dove there, turtle dove for life. So it's just a little play on words, just bringing in those little critters that remind you of green. My favorite part, I think, would have to be the moss. So I think that is a very specific word, and I don't think you really see it too often. And I thought it just complemented the whole piece wonderfully, wonderful rhyme. And the couplet at the end, it is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you, Sky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great comment. I love those elements too that you mentioned. So, Blue, would you comment for Deb?
He mentioned his pain meds. I think he might have dropped.
Oh, okay. So, Rack, would you comment for Deb?
Absolutely. You know, this is beautiful. I kind of had the vision of your crayon box filling in the hot sun and just every color melt. You had me with the honeybees thing, and the nerd in me wanted to go look up what the hexadecimal code for green is on the color chart, because you picked 80, and I know probably just the cadence. You know, for me, there's got to be a logical reason behind it. You know, nerd trivia, so I have to go and look it up. But I really enjoyed this poem. Mm-hmm. I did, Deb. Thank you.
Thank you, Rack. And I see you melted all my green crayons. How about that?
It's just so hot. Okay, Lady A, would you comment for Deb, please?
Yes, I thought this was beautiful, Deb. First, that I really liked. Well, I liked the whole thing. It's also very vividly colored and imagery. Could be right there, but the verse that I really liked, the last verse before the couplet. Green blades wave on all the ferns, tossed by gusts as the wind churns. Honeysuckle vines perfume this air, and frogs hop, and the turtle doves stare. I really like that. You gave it a. You gave the grass, the blades of green grass, especially, and the ferns. You can just see that wave, that gentle wave in the breeze, and then as the wind got stronger, you can see them getting a little bit wilder, but. The honeysuckle vines in the perfumed air, you can smell that aroma. And I really like that the frogs are hopping in the turtle dove's air. That's just a really, not a whimsical, but it was just a very creative, happy piece that made me feel and reading it. It was beautiful.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. I agree. It is a happy, a very happy piece. I mean, very, very soothing, and you know, being out there in the green of nature. But, okay. All right, Mr. Hatter, are you ready to read for us? Did I lose you? Sorry, guys, I lost him again, but we'll hang in there. He'll be back. In the meantime, I will put Sky up. Guy, if you would like to read for us. All right. Then let me find you while we wait for Hatter to come back.
I've been my mind has been pretty focused on other things. So mm-hmm. I wrote a haiku. I went on a I had a haiku marathon. So
you know, when all else fails, just go back to a haiku. You know, it really helps sometimes. It does. At least you're writing something, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to give you something and welcome you back. So I was like, what am I going to do here? I went on a little, I had a haiku song yesterday. By Sky Garfield. Lipstick lines of jade, rows of broccoli trunk trees, mint gray awning, and palm.
Well, in my mind, this is a wonderful haiku. Now, keep in mind that I fell down the haiku rabbit hole one time and almost disappeared because I get lost. I do. You know, there's so many different interpretations, and I would write traditional haiku, and people would say, no, traditional haiku's out. You need to be more creative. So I'd write creative text haiku, and then they would say, no, this is not traditional. You're breaking all the rules. So, you know, I finally threw up my hands. And what I do now is I just like what I like. And this is so great. I love the lipstick lines of jade. How wonderful. How unusual to see that in a haiku. The broccoli trees, and they absolutely do look like broccoli trees. So I think you painted us a picture with those three lines in a perfect, in my mind, haiku. So, you know, thank you for this. It's really wonderful for my show. And you're very brave. Of all the things that are hardest to write, it's strange that it's the small, simple form of haiku. But you did a great job. You're welcome. And I would love to hear what Sweet has to say.
Oh, sorry, I'm on mute. You know, it's Sky.
Yeah.
And I love, what can you say? She writes broccoli trunk trees and lips dipped in jade. she has so much imagery packed in such tiny words, and yet she describes this beautiful forest. It's like something out of Wizard of Oz. It's like a line you could read in Wizard of Oz as you're going down the yellow brick road towards the Emerald City. And that's kind of what I thought of is, oh, this is something in the Emerald City. It's just so beautiful. And, you know, I can see, like, the broccoli and the jade, and that's where I am, right there, in Emerald City.
Thank you, Sweet. The lesson to lift this is when someone's painting, they're not supposed to do this, but when you put the paintbrush in your mouth and you point the tip. And I've read this horrible book. I'm not going to bring that up. The true story. I guess I've never gotten that gel out of my head, so lingering in there.
Well, I think it's great, and it really does, it's like a painting in those few words. And Stephen, I know you would love to comment for Sky.
Yeah, I like this. I told you in my comment that I really love broccoli. And I was just wondering, by any chance, does it rain Jesus thoughts in this forest? But,
by the Chesapeake waterfall.
This is an awesome description of the pic with a few words, guys. It's an excellent film.
Thank you. I love broccoli soup. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I do too.
Like
yes, one healthy food. One healthy food I like. But this was great, Sky, and great comments, everyone. And welcome and Hatter back. And while we've got Hatter back, I would love to have him read, if you would like to read Hatter. Because Hatter, you know,
okay.
I live to hear you read. Okay, well, I'm going to put you up there. So don't let me down. No, I hear you. Okay, you're on the board.
I did. Which one did you put? I think I put two up there, maybe.
Just one last time.
Just one last time.
Yeah.
This is not, is this, yeah, angry is just a sad bodyguard. Quote?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Go right there. I thought I was mad, so I said I was angry. A little bit sad, that's what they told me. We didn't think you're, hey, we didn't think you're you. Maybe you're Bob, an old freaking hippie who doesn't have a job. I felt I was lonely. I never said a thing. Is there someone out to find me? Or is that only my dreams? After all the living and the memories to burn, what was I expecting? What did I learn? Better things to come, free to us. They wait behind the signs. Let me hold you close to me just one last time.
Oh, Heather, this is so wonderful. And it's just, I always look forward to hearing your poetry because it's going to be something different every time. It's going to be something to surprise me, make me smile, and just put together in your own very unique way. I love, I thought I was mad, so I said I was angry, a little bit sad. That's what they told me. I mean, it's just, it's conversational and real and just like a stream of thoughts going through your head like, maybe you are Bob, an old freaking hippie who doesn't have a job. I mean, where did that come from? It came from Hatter, and I just love it. So I'm so glad you brought this just 3 hours ago, too. Thank you so much, Hatter. I'm going to get you some other comments. Kay,
okay.
Would you comment?
Well, yeah, you know, I like how you started out in the beginning. Angry is just Sad's bodyguard. Yeah, because sometimes when you misplace emotions and you're barking in the wrong ways. But I like what the closing stanza brings. Because that, in my opinion, speaks straight from the heart. As I said, anger is Sad's bodyguard indeed. Anger is easier to show than sadness and even love, because sometimes people push others away because love is the frightening part, but the negative emotions are more easier to show, like a child that is frightened. It's simply a wonderful share.
Because it's about me, or me, all me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. And Frank, would you comment for Hatter?
Yes, I will. I was right really quick. I thought this was a journey here, of introspection here. We think of the notion of what goes on in our lives, you know, and experiences we have, to what extent we learn from them, to what extent we bury them. It's very important here, and what I enjoyed about this piece here is that I see Hatter here realizes he goes to a period of introspection here, and he knows how to recognize his periods or his experiences here. It is somewhat a haunting self-awareness here, but I think it makes it even more precise here. It makes the poem much more effective here in the regard that he understands what's going on. And above all, that line there, the better things come to free us. They wait behind the signs. They may hold you close to me just one last time. It's a very, it's very human there. I mean, who could not relate to this piece? I mean, and the most emotional aspect, the most psychological aspect as well, this poem just makes you think. And I think you did one excellent job there at conveying so much in this right here. So I was completely taken to this poem here and its message.
Thank you, Frank. So much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Yes, I agree. Wonderful comment. And I'm going to have Lady A comment, and after that we'll have Sweet Lee.
There, I was on mute, sorry. I, Hatter, you know, you strike a chord in your pieces, your poetry with me every time. You had a bit of humor in here with, you know, the old hippie, the old friggin' hippie who doesn't have a job. But then the telltale sign for me with your poetry are verses like this. I felt I was lonely, but I never said a thing. Is there someone there to find me? or only in my dreams. You slay me with stuff like that's such a telling piece. And it's not just a poem, you know, because this is how you write when you reveal your heart, and I just love it. This is just beautiful.
Thank you, Vivian. It's sweet.
Yeah,
I
think
to sway you.
He lives to sway you. I think you're right, Lady A. I mean, you nailed it right there. It's like it's buried in all of this stuff that he brings us in, the way he makes us smile, but buried in there is his hatter and his soul and his pain. And, oh, my goodness, and I think that's what draws me in so much. But
thank you
so much for the great comments and for your poem, Hatter. And I'm going to have Sweet Pea read for us. It's so great to hear you read again. I've got your poem on the board.
Thank you. Hatter, I will comment on your poem tomorrow.
You can comment if you'd like.
Okay.
You go right
okay.
ahead. Okay, you can go ahead.
No, that's okay. I will comment on his poem tomorrow. That's fine. This is Brown Eyes Green. The lure of loneliness seduces as the mirror tells lies, smiles, eyes running away from truth, fading from brown to green, flecks race to toss about in a kaleidoscope behind perception that glare into infinity of shady glass mirrors, asking, who am I? And poem.
Gosh, so much in these few lines, and this is what you do, sweet. You bring all that emotion, and the seductiveness. It's a subtle one, but it's always there. But it's like, again, with the loneliness, the little buried thing within the beauty of being alone, and eyes turning away from truth. I love that line, and the. A lot of times, it's kind of accepted that the eyes are where you can read the deepest, and how those eyes do change. Sometimes they even seem to change color, and I think it's just the intensity of the emotion. With the kaleidoscope, I mean, it's just so vivid and detailed of looking into those eyes. But then, you know, I'm almost thinking as I was listening to you read that you were speaking to someone else, but then I realized you're speaking to yourself. And that was just kind of a stunning ending. And that's to bring all that brevity. Just think it's wonderful, sweet. It's so good, like I said, to hear this poetry again tonight. So thank you for bringing this. Perfect for my thing tonight. And a lot of depth in this that I can't even really get into that are buried in the eyes. So let me get some other comments. I would love to hear what Sky has to say.
Well, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I really love eyes. I think they're so telling, and when people bring them in, I remember that contest a long time ago that a team of voices did, and each of us gave our eyeballs, and we all had to guess who they were and write a poem about, not guess, but we write a poem about it, and then they revealed whose eye it was, and I don't know why, but that just came to mind, and I thought that was a cool idea, but this poem was absolutely beautiful, and the lure of the loneliness seduces, and the mirror tells lies and smiles, and to me, there's a sad loneliness of aging and what age can do to us and to our eyesight, and people bringing in those darker eyes, having those pigments of flecks of lighter colors due to age and conditions such as these. I will say I don't have dark eyes. I have the opposite. Very, very light eyes. They're often gray. So any amount of light is just really overwhelming for me because my eyes are mostly gray. They're green, blue, but they're mostly gray. And to have darker eyes and to have flecks of these lighter colors, and having that change for someone with very, very pale, almost gray eyes, having that light effect, I would imagine this kind of change and the kind of process due to you know, our bodies just changing can be very saddening, and you bring that through the piece.
Thank you.
And looking into that mirror, absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm not sure. There's lots of background. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, it's been like that the whole time. I'm sorry, I'm not really good at clearing that stuff out. But
we'll just have to
struggle on through, I guess. But I think I'm hearing it too, a lot of echoing. But thank you for a great comment. And I'm going to get another one. I'd like for Frank to comment for Sweet Pea, please.
Yes, I have to say, I'm not, I looked at your notes there, Sweet. It is incredible that, first of all, I don't know the experience itself. I don't know how many people who've had this condition here. But the poem itself, to me, was just remarkable in the sense in regard of its sincerity. You know, you do use the metaphors here and this brevity. But I see from the beginning there the depth of your sincerity here. The lure of loneliness seduces as the mirror tells lies or smiles. There is, at times, I do find of your poetry, there is a meaning to it. Not only a meaning, there's a moral to it. You know, when I hear these poems of yours of this, in this nature here, because this is a very serious nature here, I always am taught something from you. I always appreciate the sincerity that you share with us, and it takes a lot of courage to do that. You know, to share something so personal, so intimate. And I just enjoyed the fact that you could read this poem here and recognize this. But in the end, the one thing I've always enjoyed is that you always carry on. You know, you take affliction, but you don't let it bring you down. You rise up to the challenge. And that's the quality that I always admire from you.
Thank you.
And I agree 100%. So, Rack, before we move on, would you comment or speak?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm like Sky. You know, the eyes are kind of my thing, and you can very easily get lost in them. But one that I really love, you know, I like when someone a statement or a generalization like the eyes are the window to the soul, and contradicts it or you know, disproves it, you know, mirrors lie. So, you know, right there you're saying, you know, you're not really seeing what you're seeing when you look into my eyes, and that adds so many layers to the rest of the poem, you know, that one little section there that you were able to do that. And I love subtle little things like that, because that's the kind of stuff that usually gets overlooked and changes the tone of the poem. But when you catch something like that, it's like, you know, an ingredient in the recipe that everyone's going, what's in that? What am I? And, you know, and you can't quite put your finger on it, but if it wasn't there, it wouldn't taste the same. So beautiful job, Sweet.
Thank you, Rack.
Absolutely. I agree. So thank you for all your comments and for the wonderful poem, Sweet. And now I've got everyone in the studio, or all callers, have been read, and we have some who are still here and some have run for the night, Stephen and Kate. I know you had a busy night. Thank you for calling. And Sky just got home herself, so she's gone on, and Deb. But I have a few sound clouds and maybe a couple that need read readers, but I'll finish up my show with those. And I will start with Gerald Green. He left the sound cloud, and I have put his poem on the board, and I shall play it. All right, except I got to get back into the studio. Sorry, guys. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm sorry. Somehow I left the studio, but I'll get back there. All right. Okay. Here we go. And this is Gerald Green, 20th Century Greed.
21st Century Greed, written and read by Gerald Green. Society's shoreline shifts with storms and unpredictable periods of calm. At times, only rocks can be found, while at others, white sand stretches for miles. These changes brought on by weather and tide affect the very elect with private gardens. Perhaps this is why one-third of Americans consume anti-anxiety medication and have difficulty sleeping. Except for me. I am unaffected by societal abnormalities as I have learned to accept who I see in the mirror. Tides and undertow do not toss me flotsam or sink me like a float with no air. Greed is who I am. Money and possessions are my blood, my sustenance. Touching my fat wallet each morning replaces seeds of anxiety with placid thoughts of retirement. America's money is green by design, representing harmony, safety, and fertility that guides the supplicant. Only one letter separates greed from green for a reason. Nature's lushness is replaced by nurture's bounties. Roses leaf by corporations' dividend. Yes, greed defines me, and now that I'm wealthy, many friends surround me. Can life be any better? End poem.
Well, I love this, Gerald, and if you're listening, this is another one along with the ones we were listening to earlier, making a statement about how the world is now and how we are sacrificing what's important for maybe what's not so important. And I love your tongue-in-cheek tone. You say one thing, but you get the sense that you're being a little bit facetious. You know, greed is who I am. Money and possessions in my blood, and can life be any better? You know, yes, greed defines me now that I'm wealthy. Many friends around me. So is it the money or is it the friends? All of those nebulous kind of things that kind of haunt modern society. I think you did a wonderful job with this, and it suited my green theme so perfectly to go this different kind of direction. So I appreciate that so much, Gerald, and thank you for bringing this. Lady A, would you comment for Gerald, please?
I like Gerald's writing because he's very natural and real, and he speaks about... He makes poetry out of the ordinary, everyday life, an object, a memory, or a time in space. Like he creates something out of the mundane and makes it beautiful and interesting to read. And he's just terrific at that. And this poem shows that.
Yeah. Yes, I love that he made a statement, you know, about and kind of obsessing me and what's going on around me right now. And some of my writing is reflected it, so I can really appreciate this, Gerald. And let me get a comment from Rat. Would you comment for Gerald?
This is a good example of a satire, I think. I like his observations. All the observations from beginning to end. It was intriguing and thought provoking in a few ways too. You know, I think my favorite observation that he made was the one letter difference between green and greed. And you know, it's ironic by someone with the last name saying that, you know, green is what I am or who I am, you know. So I appreciated the poem, Gerald. I thank you for sharing it tonight.
Mm-hmm. And Hatter, would you comment before we get another point?
Yeah, I love Gerald's writing. He comes, he's always out of the box, swooping in. There is a reason things are the way they are, and there are reasons that we don't know about. I mean, there is a reason our money is green. He emphasizes that. That was an excellent point.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much, Hatter. Okay, so I see that we have Laughing Soul on the board. And I'm not absolutely clear if Laughing Soul is planning to call or just needs a reader. I wasn't sure, but I think she's just listening. So I would like to
she's in
ask someone. Yeah, she's not in here right now. So she's on the board, though. So, Lady A, would you do me the honor of reading for our Laughing Soul?
Yes, I can.
Oops. Okay. Yes, she's listening. And wait a minute, sorry. Gosh almighty, I keep doing that. Hang on.
Oh, my goodness,
pretty
my phone's going to die. I might have time to read that poem, but I'll have to do it right away if you need to.
Hold on.
I got to get new phones. They're dying all the time.
Oh, I know. But it's, I'm sorry, it's a short one. And
okay.
I can get it in.
And it's called
Get It In.
Reread. Well, that's not it.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh,
right,
let me get her the link. She doesn't have the link.
No, I don't.
All right, wait a minute. I got it. I hit the wrong one. All right, so Rusted Knife. Do you see that? Okay.
Does she have the link?
Rusted Knife by Laughing Soul. Soft notes of a violin, billowing songs of a grim breeze, caress the forlorn brow, innocence lured asunder phosphine vows. A lurking demon, enshrouded in a cloak of green fluorescence, playeth a dirge, quintessence. Doth a child cradled on the edge of a rusted knife foster fears for life? End poem.
Well, thank you for reading that, Lady A. Laughing Soul, you're a new support for me. I know you've been around kind of during my absence, but I'm so delighted to hear a poem of yours tonight. And I can see there's a lot of depth to your poetry, a lot of vividness, a lot of imagery. But this is a very somber and sad poem with quite a message to it. What I think you did was paint that picture for us first with those soft notes of the violin and a grim breeze caress a forlorn brow. I love that. But it all comes together in your last line. That the cradle, a child cradled on the edge of a rusted knife, possibly fears for life. So anyone who knows me knows that most of my poetry is about children and the children I served as a social worker. And so I see that clearly through this. This is a poem about maltreatment of children. I see that. And that last question is certainly a good one. What do they have for life, born on the edge of a rusted knife? I have never heard it quite put like that, but it's fantastic. It's quite brilliant. So just know that I appreciate this song more, this poem more than you would understand. And maybe once we get to know each other a little better and you know from where I write, you'll understand why this touches me. Lady A, you read this. Would you give her a comment, please?
Yes, I was on mute again.
Uh-oh. So, lost her. Okay, so Frank, would you comment?
Yes, I thought this was, as what you said, you alluded to, the serious nature of this poem here, which was mentioned there of child abuse.
It's a very haunting piece here, but I did like what I did enjoy about this piece above all was the simplicity. You know, it was compelling. It was deep on reflection, and above all, grim reality in our society. You know, these things they manifest. We can't just close our eyes and say no, they don't happen. They do happen. You know, and the way she just the analogy there to the violin, the soft notes there, was very, and the dirge as well, was very, very haunting. Yet at the same time, these types of poems, they are sober, but they're there for us. Perhaps I would think they're written like this. You know, her intention perhaps was to make us think, to make us really, really see the serious nature of what goes on in our society. And I think this is a poem that really, although it's a brevity, it has a lot of weight and substance.
Yes, thank you. Great comment. And Sweet Pea, could you comment, please? Laughing Soul.
Well, I love that she's, you know, the ability for a child to see light, even if light isn't there. But the, you know, they can see things far better than we do, or have that hope. You know, I believe that. And I, you know, there's something that's dark here, but there's that hope. And I love the last line: "Doth a child cradle on the edge of a rusted knife foster fears for life?" I mean, there's so much there, but there's still that, you know, asunder, you know, fostering vows.
Yeah.
I just, you know, they see light even if we just see dark, because they're children. I really love that, the whole essence of this. I think it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful piece. And
yes.
Watch, if you would comment, thank you. If you'll comment, Rack, then I'll move on.
I enjoyed this laughing. So you exhibit a wonderful grasp of language, words that you choose in this, and the distinction between a child's perspective as opposed to an adult's, kind of like what both Becky and Sweet had mentioned, struck me as well. You know, calluses and scars are all things that develop over time, and a child's point of view is just, you know, very plaintive and direct, and it's when they look at something, you know, and you know, there's a reason why they talk about wide-eyed wonder, you know, when you talk about the way a child looks at something. But the other thing that you did too, when you mentioned the dirge, that's another word that's a little unusual, that I appreciate the way that you use that as well, because, you know, it's a very somber song, and in the context of how you used it, it changes the tone a little bit of the whole poem, and I enjoyed that very much.
Yes, I agree. I love the word choice in that too. It really set the tone. And thank you, Rat. And I put our Pretty Birds poem on the board now, and she left me a SoundCloud, so I will play that for us. And this is Pretty Bird.
Consequences of Leftover Love by Pretty Bird. Who must you be to love like you do, in gestures titled Go Big or Go Home? I was home once, wrapped safe in quilted desire, that all before the nothing. But nothing is everything in witching hour yesterdays that scream truths I'm too blind to hear. You spoke in concrete verbiage, and I danced on ideals, every word indelibly etched or sandblasted through virtue. 100% of your heart, the purest cocaine, instant addiction, my predilection, and alpha point views, omega point distance. Santa black yesterdays, a minute ago, where 100 to 0 bleak death, and newfound anxiety.
my 100, mine, gifted in parts I can never get back, knowing that pure light steals vision. Stolen and re-gifted in square-peg disasters that feel like maybe just because you can touch them. I counted time to remember to breathe when you stole my air. Time broke records one day, singing apologetic arias, and it rushed in 0 to 100 in 0 seconds flat. Trust still feels warm in your voice, even now, knowing it is 100% of what's left after you gave it away. A whole heart divided, blinded by joy, I was blindsided by pain. Those tears don't belong to me this time. Your pain breaks my heart. Look at me. My love still runs. A true 100 seem only what you gave away. And worth can never grow past the vision that less than all is always nothing. Diaphanous truth against yesterday's honor, you gave her a piece of me and told me nothing changed.
Wow, sweet. I mean, pretty bird. There's just something about your voice, your words, your poetry, the emotion. But it's something that's so real because there's probably not a soul out there that hasn't sat in the place that this poem describes and felt those feelings and the betrayal, screaming truths that you're too blind to hear, you know, screaming almost at yourself for not seeing, instead of maybe at the one who deserves it more, but always internalizing. I certainly go there all the time. Those tears don't belong to me. Again, just a feeling that we can just all identify with, and that's what you do, Pretty Bird. You share your pain with us, but we are able to feel it because it's a place where we've been. But your phrasing, your lines, your word, there's so much here I could go through, but it's just wonderful to hear you again, and know you're listening or you're going to listen, so I'm so glad you left this recording for us so that not only I get to see your words, but I get to hear you read it. So let me get you some more comments. Sweet, would you comment on our Pretty Bird song poem?
Yeah. Wow. This kind of really is very personal. Who must you be to love like you do in Jester's title, Go Big or Home? I was home once. And this person just kind of pulled her out and made her believe, and then just kind of devastated her. And you feel all of that and all the pain and everything that she's gone through, and then blindsided. And I at the last line, you gave her a piece of me and told me nothing changed. Those tears don't belong to me this time. Your pain breaks my heart. And this is just, it literally breaks my heart because there's so much pain in it and there's so much that's going on in it. And I just love Pretty Bird so much. And to see it's powerful, it's emotional. And it breaks my heart to feel that pain.
Yes, I agree. She just brings so much emotion, and you can hear it just in every word. Rack, would you comment for Pretty Bird?
Yeah, poetry like this is hard to comment on because you can absolutely feel the emotion that she's going through, and because you can relate to a lot of it, you almost want to assume you know where she's coming from. And as much as she shares with us, you know, she keeps back for herself, so it's hard to say definitively that, you know, this is what happened, or you know, the other. So regardless of all that emotion, though, she says it in such a beautiful way that almost belies that emotion that she's dragging us through. And, you know, the heartbreak that Sweet's talking about, that regardless of whatever situation she's talking about, that you could see, you know, in her words and the imagery that she uses, talks about going through something that someone else can giving away something that was hers or something like that. That there's no metaphor in that. She's pointing out unfortunate truths, and that I think is what makes most of her writing, if not all of it, you know, so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunate truths. That's a wonderful phrase. Exactly what she's expressing. Thank you for that, Rack. And Frank, would you comment for Pretty Bird?
Oh, this is a very painful piece here. I don't know the intimate details of what she's speaking here, but I don't need to know completely that. I can sense, I can feel the profound nature of this poem, you know, in her voice, between her voice, her heart. This is just a very compelling piece. I would hate to think that this is something that anyone can go through it. But at the same time, I have to commend her on her courage as well to share this type of piece, you know. And everyone is for, you know, is up front and will share such intimate things like that, and particular things that are very painful. Yet she does it with a sense of understanding. I know this was written 10 months ago, so I don't know to what extent it's still troubling her. I would hope it's not. And I hope that she's in a better place. But I thought it was a very, very well written piece.
Yes, same here. Well, thank you so much for your comments. And thank you, Pretty Bird, for bringing that SoundCloud. I think we all loved it very much. I hope you're doing well. Miss you. So let me move along. I have a SoundCloud by Phil, the poet. And then I have one to be read for Crystal and one to be read for Budo, and that will be it for the night. So I'm going to go ahead. I've dropped Phil's poem in the chat room, and I will play it for him now. This is Phil the Poet, Field of Green.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Field of Emerald Green. Lying in a field of emerald green, walking hand in hand within a dream, stone walls protect our world. Under the sun you gaily trill. We stare at the clouds in the sky. A white horse makes us sigh. Galloping into the atmosphere in wonder, innocently we do stare. We are lost within each other's eyes, interrupted by two butterflies, fluttering with heart-shaped wings. Love is filled with amazing things. Upon a rusty gate we would sit, watching a sire chewing on his bit, trotting past our emerald carpet. He looks back with a sense of regret. The stars come out to dance, weaving our minds into a trance. The moon glows upon the field. In each other's arms we do yield. End poem.
Phil, I really love this. I love the smoothness. Your rhymes are so sweet and sweet to the ears, and the rhythm that goes along with them is just perfect. You lay just such a beautiful place for us out here with the clouds in the sky, and we even have a white horse. I'm assuming a cloud horse. How delightful. Galloping into the atmosphere, being lost within each other's eyes, and then interrupted by a butterfly. I mean, just so fanciful and delightful, and everything that we would love to be feeling right now. And then you end it in each other's arms. It's a beautiful poem of love, Phil. You do a really good job with your love poems. I always enjoyed them so much, and your voice really lends to the romance. So thank you for bringing this to my show tonight. It's really a wonderful poem, and I'll get you some comments here. Sweet, would you comment for him?
First off, I love his voice, so I'm really glad that he's doing recordings now.
Yeah.
And I love the lying in a field of emerald green. That thought was gorgeous. And I like when a poem, when you can take the first line of every stanza and it becomes its own poem, and this one does that for me. So lying in a field of emerald green, we stare at the clouds in the sky. We are lost within each other's eyes. Upon a rusty gate, we would sit. The stars come out to dance. I like that that's a poem in itself. But it kind of encompasses the whole poem of just being together and lost in each other and being in love in this beautiful place to be, and that, you know, everything is about being together. And that this poem encompasses that, and just being a part of each other and focused on that and being mindful of each other. So I thought it was beautiful that way. It's a very beautiful love poem.
It is, and don't we always love to hear a love poem? So, Brack, would you comment, please, on this beautiful love poem? Mr. Rack.
Is he on mute?
Is he on mute? What about you, Frank? You would know how to come in on the left. Okay. We'll get both of you. Go ahead, Rack.
My throat was doing unfortunate things. I apologize. I love Phil's voice. I don't know Irish, Scottish, the accent that you mentioned, to hear him read. It's just between that and the way that he writes, you know, I just imagine like James Joyce or you know, a classic Irish poet. And this is just, you know, emerald green, you know, and nature. It was just very, very beautiful and a soothing piece. I really enjoyed it, Phil.
Yes, definitely soothing. Kind of lowered my stress level a little bit. So, Frank, would you comment or Phil before you move on?
Yes, I have to agree with what's been said here. I thought this was a beautiful piece with a sweet cadence and imagery of the emerald green, but I thought it was romantic in that thought as well. And I think I do agree. The tone in his voice was very serene. And that's what made this poem even much more effective, I would say. The way you read a poem at times, in particular of this type of nature, it does help that you realize the tones, inflections as well when you read these types of pieces. And I thought he did an excellent job there. And I thought the piece was very romantic and very encompassing as well, the imagery there of the two butterflies there. So I thought that was, in that regard there, you did a wonderful job there.
Yes, thank you, Frank. And thank you, Phil. I'm glad, too, that you've started bringing us some voice recordings. I know Phil was always very faithful about dropping poems in our shows, and now we're getting to hear his voice, too. So thank you for that, Phil, and thank you all for your comments. So I have two left. I have put on the board A Brevity by Crystal and Sweet. I wondered if you would read for our Crystal.
I certainly will.
Okay.
A Green Presence by Crystal Hope. Lying in the green grass, feeling a swift breeze, smelling the fresh, crisp air, gazing at the trees, walking in the myrtle forest, touching the soft tips of the leaves, picking the stems of a small flower, inhaling the sweet smells such as these, and poem.
Well, leave it to Crystal to bring us such a sweet, beautiful, soothing, lovely brevity. There's just so much in this. First of all, I love the green presence, laying in the green grass. just something I love to do and have always, you know, done for as long as I can remember, and feeling the air and mostly smelling that spring air that has the smell of grass in it. There's just nothing. These are the simple pleasures. I think that's what Crystal is outlining for us. Going outside and just the simple pleasures, the grass and the trees and the picking the stems off a small flower and just inhaling those scents. And, you know, you brought it to us, Crystal, just in every sense of the word. And I really appreciate it. It's a perfect poem for my theme tonight. And, Sweet, would you comment for Crystal?
You know, I think if somebody asked me if I could give you what green smelled like, it would be fresh cut grass. That's the smell of green. And I think that's what this poem is. It describes the smell of green. It's just perfect.
It does. Absolutely. That really stands out. And, Rack, would you comment?
Yeah, this was a beautiful brevity. She definitely brought the sense into it as well. Of course, you know, I like to twist things because my mind is twisted. So, you know, you talk about grass and stems and they kind of don't grow together. I think about the wrong kind of grass.
The right kind of grass.
But, or the right kind of grass, yes. And then you really have to lay there and stare at the sky.
There you go.
Yeah, but I definitely appreciated the poem. Definitely appreciated the poem and the more than likely unintentional pun that I'm forcing into it that I enjoyed as well.
Yeah, me too. And Frank, if you'll comment, then I'm going to ask you to read my last poem of the night.
All right. I'm still thinking about commentary. I'm not sure if he's over the camel there, but I will say that it was an excellent brevity. What I adore is what you said, the simple pleasures of sensuous in nature, and it is one of these times. I do agree with what Sweet said. You know, there is nothing really to the smell of grass. It's what encompasses what's within the grass, the flowers. You know, the beauties of sentience is there, and what nature, you know, what reflects not the grass, but what's within and around the grass, that at times we lose the essence of that. And so I do agree, the smell of grass is what it is, but it's the flowers and the things that are within, the beautiful things, of course, are what we should always remember. Let me just... Oh, you have the piece. Do you have the piece up there? Oh, there it is.
Yes, she does. All right.
I was thinking of something. This is a piece by Buddha. It's called Dilapidation's Content, and it goes like this. In the hotspots of stacked humanity, on an avenue in the Lower East End, there lies a Sufian word of green wonders that bear the bare-boned essence of breath, breathing shallow sighs and whispers of a new day, of bridging untold barriers, where hope stirs easily like summer rays, greeting tenements of a gentle nudge to awaken nature's veins and tangles, sprouting upward to engage fun's smile. Sleepy-eyed urban combustion slowly chugs into gear, its bright umbrellas bloom open over wrought iron fixtures, and wooden crate market stalls filled with tasty edibles and colorful rows of gratifying, delectable delight. Wafts of bread baking in brick killed or ovens in the floral suns of fresh-cut flowers and wrappers reach for passersby as they glance over from cobblestone pavement. And in the shops and under awnings, the diaspora greet of grins and handshakes and embroidered aprons in Sunday's best. This the business of usual, crescendos in volume and tempo, with clinks of wine, glasses, prosciutto and brie, croissants, truffles, and streusel. A maturing day, beaming of grace, companionship, and thankfulness for the pleasures of imbibing life's blessings. On a street, in a neighborhood, of a borough, in a city,
a colorful snapshot of serene brilliance hidden in the folds of dilapidation's content. End of poem.
Great read, Frank. And wow, Budo, you amazed me, because this is what I love when a poet surprises me. And this is so different for you. And I mean, I love your poetry. I love your music. And then you come in here with something like this, which is an urban painting. It's just taking us down those streets of all the sights and sounds and everything, the tenements and the city wakening and all the smells and the sounds. It is truly a colorful snapshot of serene brilliance, as your line says. But I really particularly like how you wound it down on a street, in a neighborhood, of a borough, in a city, any city, every man, every city. This is what you're describing, and I think you just did a wonderful job. And it shows your versatility, how you really can write anything, Budo. You're not just a musician. You're a very deep writer of poetry about people and about humanity. And this is really wonderful. Frank, would you comment for Budo?
Yes, first of all, I have to commend him. He was awarded a gold medal for this piece here. And for that, I have to commend him on this piece. I've heard this piece before. I don't remember the show, but I did hear this piece, and I thought it was an incredible ride. I thought he did an excellent job on the prompt itself, encompassing the aspects of the prompt, the painting, and expressed the colorful shades of life. I do agree with what you said there, Becky. This is the hotspot image of everything that's in that, encompassed within that portrait there, or the painting itself. It's just remarkable that he gives and breathes life to it. Did an excellent job. A wonderful analogy there of the daily toils and travails of life, and it's good and bad. I like the aspect that he brought there with the title there, Lapidation's Content. It's a very good analogy there. Very, very good poem. And I agree with you.
Absolutely.
One last thing. I do agree. He's not only a good musician, he's a talented poet as well.
Absolutely.
And a friend. And a good friend.
Very good friend. He's always there. Kind of like you and Frank and Rack. So, Rack, would you comment? Be my last commenter of the night.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. I grew up in an urban area in Brooklyn, so this felt kind of like a train ride. You know, the whole melting pot of people that you come across and see that he had spatterings of all throughout the piece. I particularly, I'm a bit of a foodie, so I gravitated towards the croissants, truffles, and strudel. You know, I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, that's too much starch for one menu. I got to mix this up. But then, he's not talking about a menu. My mind, again, OCD and everything else, just more problems after problems. But the poem was absolutely stunning. I've teased him before and told him, I want him to adopt me. So, he's really is. I enjoy his writing, and he's got like you say, he's not just a musician. He's got storytelling abilities and a keen eye for the world around him. He can capture emotions and moods and weave them into different scenarios and come up with things that'll surprise you. Sharing his own unique perspective, and that's what I appreciate about the way that he writes.
Absolutely, I agree too. And I just want to hear more and more of it. So I have 60 seconds to thank everyone for a wonderful show and for a wonderful welcome back. It's been just great. Rack and Frank, you were there from the beginning, and here you are with me saying goodnight. That means a lot to me. Also, Lady A, and always, Stephen and Kay, Lou, Hatter, of course, my sweet Deb and Sky and Crystal and Sweet, and then those who brought poems, Laughing Soul and Gerald. crystal Budo deal. Hatter, of course. And I hope I didn't miss anyone, but thank you all so much. And just, what did you say?
Oh, Deb.
And
Silasonic Blue.
And Blue, yeah. Couldn't do it without them. But thank you all for giving me a wonderful night. And it ended up just right on time, looks like. So I'll say goodnight to my two guys. Thank you, Rack and Frank. I'll see, y'all again soon. Good night. Have a good night.
We miss you, Deb.
Thank you so much. Missed you guys. Good night, Rack. Good night, Frank.
Take care.
Good night.